So as I said, we're continuing the series on ambassadors and witnesses. So think a little bit about the difference between the two. There is a difference, while there is also overlap. And then after we've finished focusing on ambassadors, we'll turn our thoughts to being witnesses. So firstly, a reminder of the mission. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. It was he, referring to Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. It was Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. And that scripture in Ephesians tells us of our journey so far. If you remember, we're just over, a little over halfway through the year. And at the beginning of the year, we focused on having an encounter series, but that was all about our vision, our values. So our vision is to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. And our values, passion for Jesus, people to serve, power of belief, and purpose to pursue. So we looked for about 2 weeks on each of those values. And the vision and the values don't change. So the vision will remain until either Christ returns or gives a different vision. The values won't change. So anything that we ever do, if you're ever involved in a decision about what do we do as a small group, or what do we do as a congregation, what do we do as a church, then measure it against the vision and the values. Does it fulfill the vision? And in fulfilling the vision, does it express the core values, the four values that we have? But the mission that we might have at any specific time does change. And the current mission, probably at least for this year, who knows for how long, is that we are church as family on and with a mission. So our mission is that we are church as family on and with a mission. So we spent the first half of the year focusing on what does it mean to be family? How are we family? That's why we had the small groups meeting together. That's why we had food together on a Sunday after church. Because we're family, and that's what family do. Families spend time together, they celebrate together, but they also achieve goals and have a vision together. And then after the encounter series, we had the equip series. So that was where we had different speakers coming to equip us. And I could ask you, let's start with who the speakers were. Okay, there's not many people, so don't be embarrassed. We might get onto the hard questions, which are what did they say. But who were some of the speakers who came? Vinay Samuel. So Vinay Samuel was one. Rolf Thielen was the second. C.S. Lewis. Good. And Christian Lidovec. Anyone else? I don't know of anyone else. So what were some of the things that they said? Maybe there was one thing that one of them said that stuck with you.
C.S. stopped and prayed that that guy was going to kill himself. And he was like, well, just, he did what God told him to do.
Okay, so what somebody said is C.S. stopped and prayed with the guy who was going to kill himself. He did what God told him to do. Okay, so anything else on C.S.? Anything that... C.S., what I remember about him is he told us to... modeled for us how to let go of control. He said that he was in Ireland and he hadn't told any of us in the office here that he hadn't got a plan to get from Ireland to London. And he purposely didn't tell any of us because then he knew that we would make a plan to get him from Ireland to London. He was there with Angus Buchan And God told him, I forget exactly when, at the beginning of the week, and then it was getting later and later through the week, and still God hadn't showed him how he was going to travel from Ireland to England, and London specifically. So C.S. began to doubt whether he'd heard God, and, you know, I must have been mistaken, which is sometimes what we do when God tells us one thing, but then the circumstances don't show it. But it was only on this Saturday, and he was preaching in Weybridge on Sunday morning, but it was only on this Saturday, in a conversation he was having with someone, that this person learned that he didn't have a way of getting from Ireland to London. And this same person happened to be travelling from Ireland to London on this Sunday morning, and C.S. travelled with him. So that's one of the things that I remember C.S. told us to do. And I've not prepared these in advance, so I'm in the same position as you. So, okay, C.S. and the... Well, let's go back to the beginning. Christian Ludovic was the first person who came. I remember some interesting stories he told from his time as chaplain to the South African rugby... Sorry, not rugby. The South African cricket team. But that was while I was driving him to his hotel. Who can remember what he told us? Anything about what he told us?
Spoke about praying.
Yeah,
when with all the reconciliation stuff, when people were, you know, together in meetings and having, you know, praying and then getting them together and keeping them there.
Okay. So praying to keep people together in some of the reconciliation meetings in South Africa, Nadine. Having a stayed mind. Yeah, he talked about those whose minds are stayed on God will have perfect peace. Anything else? Okay, then we had Vinay Samuel. Who remembers anything about what Vinay told us? By the way, I didn't give you any advance notice. We had one teacher at school, he taught us biology and chemistry, and he thought that the best assessments were assessments which were not announced in advance. Because then he said, then you won't do any cramming, and you'll just be able to give what you know, what you kind of have in terms of a deep-seated knowledge, rather than what you've been able to cram over the last 24 hours. And I'm not, that wasn't my intention in this, but if there are certain things that, you know, we could... maybe have a week to prepare and come up with a list of what their sermon said, but it's those things that have stuck with us, those things that we, you know, become second nature to us. Vinay Samuel told us that we have to be different to the world. We're in the world, but we have to think differently to the world. We have to engage with the world. And if we're going to engage with the world without being compromised or without becoming just like the world, then we have to inform ourselves differently. We have to even inspire ourselves differently. I'm paraphrasing, these weren't particularly his words, but he said if we're going to be effective, if we're going to be salt and light in the world, then we have to be different, we have to maintain our differences, we have to keep our integrity in order to be salt and light. And then Rolf spoke to the men in the church, in the Shofar Lounge, but he also preached, I think, on two consecutive weekends. So anything from either of those? Okay, let me help you. The first one was about how do we respond to poverty, or in particular to poor people. And anyone, does that help anyone to remember something? It helps me to remember. He said that the Bible talks a lot more about our responsibility to the poor than it does about tithing. That stuck with me. So tithing is something we don't doubt. Some of us might have some doubts, but as a church, generally speaking, we accept tithing. But, and we also as a church accept that we have a role to help the poor. But I think Wolf was making a point about church in general, that we somehow get caught up with maybe the money that, you know, keeps church people in a job or whatever it might be. That's not the purpose of a tithe, but that's what might be a perception. He said the Bible talks a lot more about our responsibility to poor people than it does about tithing. He also said, just in case that's a bit heavy for you, he said how committed God is to us enjoying ourselves. So even in a world where there's so much poverty, our Father is still... I think Wolf said, you know, he can't sometimes believe or comprehend the extent to which our Father is committed to us enjoying ourselves, just celebrating and having life. Somehow it might be a response, a legitimate response in some ways, to say, because there's all this poverty, because people are in need, then we therefore shouldn't have whatever it might be. But he said that's not what our Father says, because our Father isn't lacking. So he does want us to help the poor. We'll be judged if we don't. But it's still his plan that we enjoy life and live it to the full. So those are just a few things. Maybe if you made notes, go back to the notes or go back to the sermons on the website, have a listen. But after the encounter series, so who we are, what are our values, what's our vision, how are we supposed to be family, then we spent some time being equipped. And the reason that we spent that time being equipped is so that we can now go on our mission. Now, we talked in one of our sermons about the promised land and how the Israelites renewed their covenant before entering the promised land. And what we said then is that the promised land isn't some geographical place or some specific thing. It's not that, you know, we're going to go and do whatever it might be. But what's happened in this time is that God has showed us some of the things. Some of them he'd showed us before, and you'll see when we go through the next few slides. Some of them he's shown us since then, what kinds of things we want to be doing. So being equipped, the Encounter series isn't an end in itself. It's part of God's purpose to take us as his family on a mission. So now that we know that we are church as family, on and with a mission, what will we be doing for the next 6 months? But just to pause a minute, mission, we're often brought up, I know I was brought up in a church where mission was thought of as either somebody who's employed or even over and above that, somebody who sells what they have or gives up a job, goes on a plane to a distant country to be involved in outreach in that place. And thankfully we've changed to some extent. We recognise that mission can be anywhere. Mission is from anywhere to anywhere. And this isn't to criticise or knock people who do that. Some of us have moved for those reasons. But it's not comprehensively what the Bible describes as mission. Leaving one place to go to another place isn't comprehensively what the Bible describes by mission. So that's why when we talk about mission teams, we now talk about let's go teams. Because that's what those teams are doing. They're going together to a certain place. So we went last summer to Botswana as part of a mission sent from Shofar in Stellenbosch. But the biblical concept of mission is as an ambassador. So we are given a mission because we're ambassadors of Christ. So we are the ambassadors, is the second point. The first was just reminding us of the mission, and what we've done the last 2 weeks is to focus on us and our role as ambassadors. We looked at this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's verse 20. Paul says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." And he says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So we are Christ's ambassadors. God makes his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So whether we're young or whether we're old, whether we've been saved for decades or for months, we are ambassadors for Christ. So what that means is everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we are, is about one thing. So an ambassador is as much as an ambassador does. Of course, an ambassador is given certain roles, but an ambassador is. So they are the ambassador, and that's us. Our job is to represent accurately to the world the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We looked at this the last 2 weeks. Franz was preaching, but then on Wednesday at small group, we had a combined small group, which we might do over the next few weeks while lots of people are away. We looked at the 5 points of an ambassador. I think they're up there, so I won't test you on these. An ambassador is always on duty. An ambassador is a vital kingdom messenger. An ambassador is fully empowered, or empowered to fully represent their kingdom. An ambassador is given diplomatic immunity. An ambassador is given the ministry of reconciliation. And then what we looked at was practically, what does that mean? So we asked around the table, what does it mean to be always on duty? And some of the things we talked about were, you know, even when we're on holiday, even when we don't expect to be an ambassador, we are. One thing we also said is that when people know that we are Christian, then they will look at us. They'll look at us when our guard is down. They'll look at us when we're expecting them to and when we're not expecting them to. We spoke about being vital kingdom messengers. One thing we said is that God will often give us a message for someone. Now, we can choose not to be the messenger. And what I've seen is that if we choose not to be the messenger, God will often find somebody else to be that messenger. But if we accept it, just because somebody else might be able to do it, if God asks us to do it, then he's obviously asked us to do it first for a reason, because he would like us to do it. Often it's to do with what we might receive by doing it. He'll often find somebody else to achieve his purposes. But we have a vital message for the kingdom. And we're empowered to represent our king and his kingdom. It makes me think of Holy Spirit. So we had an encounter and we had the equip, but if we're going to be talking about being empowered, then Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us. So Jesus said we'll do greater things than he did because Holy Spirit would come. So the same Holy Spirit who empowered Jesus is empowering us. Now it's a challenge, we're not there yet, I don't believe. Not unlike many other churches, but that's what Jesus said would happen, that we would do greater things than the things that he did. Given diplomatic immunity means that we're given a covering. I talked about, not that I know much about relations between different countries, but what I do know is that an embassy of a certain nation, even though it's in the middle of London, is the territory of that nation. And therefore, their laws apply in that place. So what it means is that we, even when we're in a world which is ruled, you know, the prince of this world is the devil, even in this world, we are given diplomatic immunity. So where we go, where we claim, it might be physically in terms of moving to a new room or a new house. It might be claiming the protection of the blood of Jesus over ourselves and over our family. Whenever we travel, when we go on holiday or just wherever we might go, we are given that diplomatic immunity. And then given the ministry of reconciliation. We're not here to tell people what they've done wrong. Holy Spirit is the one who convicts, and our job is as ambassadors of Christ to tell people, to implore people on his behalf that they be reconciled with God. So we looked at practical examples, that's what we did, and if you're unsure, then maybe ask somebody who was there what practical examples we spoke about. And today we're going to look again at practical examples, and there's just going to be a series of slides giving details of some of the roles, specific roles of the ambassadors that Christ has in Shofar. So the first ambassadorial role is the ministry conference, which is coming up on the 26th of August, lasts until the 29th of August. It's at Ashburnham Place near Battle, and we don't want finance to be a reason for non-attendance. So if we're aware there's no camping this year, we've always done camping in the past. It keeps the costs down, but it also keeps people cold a bit, and because we're only there for 3 days. If we were there for longer, maybe, but the point is they won't allow us to camp where we're going, so we're all going to have accommodation, but there are different prices. There's a different, there's separate pricing tiers. So if finance is an issue, please speak with us. We said Friday was the deadline, but I guess if you get in touch with me before the end of today, then I can see what we might be able to do first thing on Monday morning, tomorrow at the office. But Fred and Lucille will be coming, and this will become an annual event, where not just for the UK, but also for mainland Europe, Fred and Lucille will come and they'll give guidance, they'll give strategy, they'll give instruction and direction. So if you haven't booked, please consider booking, and please don't allow finance to be a reason why you don't come. And while Fred and Lucille are here, we're going to make use of them. We're going to have two leadership summits. One will be in Zurich, and that's on August the 20th. And I don't expect many of you to go there, but you might know of somebody who's in Zurich or not far from there who might be able to go. So we're going to gather Christian leaders, not just pastors, but leaders from any sphere. And then Fred and Lucille will give certain sessions that will equip them for their role, whatever sphere that is. And then we're going to do the same on the Friday before, the Friday of the ministry conference during the day in Wimbledon. So you might know a leader of a previous church. There might still be one or two spaces left on this Friday, August 26th. But I imagine most of you will be at work and then coming straight from work to battle. And by the way, if you need help to get there, or you want to know who's going by train or what train they're going on, then we can, if you get in touch with Anda in the office, we can tell you who might be travelling when. And then the next is, in the past we've done Bible schools year one and two, but this year we're going to do an alternative version of Bible school three. So it's a leadership school, and it's going to happen every 6 weeks. Most of the people who wanted to join were in Weybridge, so we'll be doing that there. But if you want to travel from Tooting and travel together, then please do, please get in touch. So we're just going to look together. And what we did on the first session was just look at the Bible in terms of leadership. And anything could be discussed or put forward as long as it could be backed by Scripture. So if you come, you'll need your Bible, or at least your knowledge of the Bible. So it's about equipping leaders in whatever field they're in to represent Christ, to be an ambassador for Christ. And again, if you're interested. And then the next one, we've spoken quite a bit, and some of us were involved in the clear-up of the school, but that's going to continue now. So Little Gates, it's about giving a Christian education, but also about equipping parents to raise their children. So often people who aren't Christian will send their children to a Christian school because they recognize the benefits of a Christian education. But then with those parents, we'll offer extra seminars and extra curricular activities, hopefully, that they'll then take up. So they'll see it not just as somewhere where they send their children to be educated, but somewhere where they themselves can be equipped as well. So on all of these slides, the ministry conference, the summits, the Little Gate School, there's been something that's missing, but I don't know if you noticed what the thing was. So we had what specific area, strategic area, when it was happening, where it was happening, what the call is, but what's been missing is the name of the ambassador who either is responding or will respond. So let me give you an example. Here's another strategic area. The revision mission we held 2 weeks ago, and we're going to do it again. It might happen twice, three times each academic year. We held this one in the Shofar Lounge. It worked very well. Obviously, we're limited in terms of the space in the lounge. We can only get, I think we had, well, we had 19, and then obviously tutors as well. But this was about equipping medical students with practical training, so it was not theoretically based, but practically, what do they do when a patient or the parent of a patient is in front of them? And then it was also about showing them that faith and science, faith and in this specific case, medicine, do integrate. What we were doing was looking for the students of peace. This was what Jesus said to his disciples. The verse isn't on the screen, but Luke chapter 10. Jesus said, "When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house." Verse 6, "If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you." So I'm just going to talk for a couple of minutes about what we did 2 weeks ago. And St. George's, just over there, is the reason why we meet here in many ways. Students from Tooting, from St. George's, were travelling to Wimbledon to attend the congregation there. And at that time, when Andreas and Lisa were still here, they planted this congregation four and nearly a half years ago. And so what we did was had 3 evenings where we looked at a different medical specialty each evening. So Wednesday was obstetrics and gynecology, Thursday was pediatrics, and Friday was psychiatry. And from 7:30 until about 10:30, I had to stop them on two nights. They would have, I think, gone on and on if they were could, but we stopped between 10 and 10:30. And if you look at the, Nadine, if you can just go back to the slide, the 5 aspects of an ambassador. If you look at those 5, then what we were doing that week in the church, in the Shofar Lounge, fits most of those. I mean, there wasn't too much reconciliation, although I think there even was reconciliation because some of the people there might have had a certain view of church or a certain view of Christians, and we were reconciling them with what Christ actually does and who Christ actually is. So if you think about those, I think we were fulfilling most of those. And so what I could have done, I was thinking at the beginning when I was introducing people, should I pray? But I thought, no, it shouldn't be me who prays, because I'm a doctor who's not practicing and is unlikely to practice. But it's good for them to, having been taught from doctors who are obviously able to teach and obviously know their stuff, then those same people are the ones who pray for them. Shows that they can always be always on duty. Now, praying with patients is difficult at best, highly problematic at worst. But even that is a change. I started training at St. George's 10 years ago. And even in that decade, there's been a shift. So a shift where people can say, even in your practice of medicine, your faith has to be kept separate from it. So even if it's your motivation. Now, this, because it was on our territory, if you like, in our lounge, and was our revision course, we could do as much as we wanted. So we obviously didn't do a lot of prayer because that wasn't the purpose of it, but we did pray. And that was showing some of the students, at least, that a doctor can practice medicine and practice their faith. And also, in terms of a mission, it was quite different because the majority of those who were invited came. So usually when we have a mission, Fran said, you know, usually maybe 3% of the people you invite come, and usually they're Christian people who come to show support. But this was different. This was where the majority of people came, and we have contact details for all of them. Because what we said to the students who were in that year is, who do you think might be a student of peace? and then invite those people along. So it was around, it was their spheres of influence, it was those people who came. And let's pray, because as I say, we're going to do it again. But we don't exactly know what or where. But just one testimony I want to share with you that came out of the mission. I had a sense when we were praying that there'd be some kind of salvation. And obviously, we weren't going to preach. That wasn't the purpose. That wasn't the intention. But on one evening, the middle evening, two women were walking past and they saw our sign in the window for Bible school and asked us what we were doing. And said, well, actually, we're teaching medical students. It's not what they expected. And then we offered to pray for them, gave them a drink, told them a bit about the church, offered to pray for them. And there were two women who were related, Nina and Dorothy. And we prayed for Nina and said, but she told us that she had headaches, so we prayed for her with her headaches. And then after praying for her, we said, well, how's your head now? And she said, well, actually, the headache's gone. So we said, good, because I said if it hadn't, then we would have prayed again. That's what Sears taught us to do when he was here. So that's another thing that stuck with me. And then when Dorothy saw that Nina's headache had gone, she said, well, I've got some problems as well. And Dorothy then said, her problems were to do with her heart, and they were a bit more long-standing. And we prayed. So, well, it was Nadine and I. We could have gone into medical mode, you know, thinking about drugs. But then, you know, that's not why she was there. And we realized God had brought her to us to pray for her. So we prayed for her. And because her problems were long-standing and she didn't have symptoms there and then, we weren't able to say. But we said, do let us know if they haven't gone. If you still have problems, then let us know, because then we can continue to pray. That was on the Thursday. Then on the Friday, the office clear-out happened. That was finished on the Saturday. I was just there meeting the removal people. And then a phone call came into the office, and it was Dorothy. And she said that... she said three things. She said... I've not had any of the, she didn't say symptoms, but she said, I've not felt anything of what I felt. She said, I've had the best night ever. And she said, which is the most important thing, she went on to say, I believe that God has healed me through you. So we were there for a vision mission. We weren't expecting to be praying for someone to be healed from a sickness, but because ambassadors are always on duty, then that's what we did. And I was thinking before, you know, the testimonies that come out of this mission might be a bit different to the usual testimonies you get from a mission, but God just gave us that one. Maybe just to remind us that it's mission just as much. Teaching medical students about obstetrics and gynecology or pediatrics and psychiatry can be mission in terms of us being Christ's ambassadors just as much as somebody going to another country and preaching more traditional gospel messages. So that's one I've laboured. So what's been missing in the others are those who are the responding ambassadors. So the ambassadors who responded to this one were Michelle, Asanga and Sonia. And Michelle isn't here, but Ferdy can claim it on her behalf, but because it also affects the family as well. Ferdy was looking after Rebecca, came to the office to collect her. So those were the ambassadors who responded to that call. Now in Wimbledon there's a psychic fair in the venue that we used to use. Today was the final time that they use that venue every 1 or 2 months. And we asked to have a stall there, but the guy wasn't too interested in that when I spoke with him on the phone. But even though he can stop us having a stall, he can't stop us going, so different people go. And if you're interested again, please let me know, because the responding ambassador could be you. If you're good at engaging with people, if you're good at not judging people who have different beliefs to you, and then all of us should become good at that, then we could be the ambassador who responds and goes along with others to the psychic fair. Might not be your cup of tea, so here's another one. Women's Tea is every summer. It's probably going to be local, and it's engaging with women, those who follow Christ, those who don't yet, and representing Christ and his kingdom to them. So the responding ambassador could be you. And then just in case neither of those two are things that you think you'd be involved in, The next can be anything. So it could be a community social, a street party, it could be a small group, it could be just in your break at university or in the office, it could be when a baby is dedicated. So when you can decide where, it could be anywhere. And the call is to engage with the world and represent Christ and his kingdom to the world. So it could be you, but here I'm asking it as a question, will it be you? And then still, just in case that's too specific for you and Holy Spirit hasn't told you, he might tell you today, he might tell you another time. But this final slide of this section, you put God's vision. Now, for us as a church, we have a vision. And we're not going to engage ourselves in anything that doesn't serve that vision or doesn't incorporate our values. But God decides when. It might be at a time that doesn't seem convenient to us, but he decides when. Ambassadors might be called to leave a country and go to another, or leave a country and return home. Speaking earlier about Andreas and Lisa, they were called back. So they were sent here as ambassadors and then were called back. God decided when. He could have sent them on to somewhere else, but he sent them, called them back. And the call, well, Holy Spirit will lead. So it's your name that can go in there. So we're not yet on the witnesses. I mean, obviously there's overlap, but just ambassadors. So where we are, who we are, what we do, what we say, how we say it even. And then just to finish, the end of the programme driven church. We started at Ephesians 4 and verse 11, where it says it was he, Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Again, I've said it before, but just in case it helps you to remember. So those five apostles, using the thumb, keep all the others in check. Some to be prophets who say things as they are, sometimes in a way that we might not like. Evangelists with the middle finger, who can call a specific person from where they are, even when they're preaching to a crowd, and bring that person. And then pastors, if they use this finger, just to, who represent covenant, who represent relationship, the aspect of God that he loves us, that he cares for us, that care, even when it involves discipline, is for our good. And then teachers who tell us what's wrong and take those bits that are wrong and clean things out or correct things. So it was he, Christ, who gave some to be those different five things, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. But the reason that Christ gave to those five is so that the saints, God's people, would be prepared for works of service. So it's not about which one of those five you have or you will have. It's about, are you being prepared for works of service? So are you in a church that prepares you as one of God's people for works of service? So we've often had a church which has been driven by programs. So we're having this program, so that will drive. But when a critical mass of us realize that we have roles as ambassadors, wherever we are, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our colleges, in our universities, in our hospitals, in our offices, then the program will no longer drive us. So church wasn't program driven initially. They had structure, and we'll come onto that very briefly. Jesus is returning for a church that was spirit-led, as it was in the beginning. So the end of the program doesn't mean we don't use our calendars anymore. It means the opposite of that. We probably would be doing so much that we need someone who is given the gift of administration to be able to coordinate us all. But then Tosin made reference to this, and we'll end with this. She talks about good works. Ephesians also tells us that there are good works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It's by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works. So it's not by works that we're saved, so that no one can boast. But in case we get shy of work by reading that verse alone, verse 10 of Ephesians 2 tells us that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So works are mentioned three times. We're not saved by works, in case any of us think that we can be. And then we're reminded that we are God's workmanship. God works at us, God works in us, God shapes us and changes us, so that we can do those works, those good works that have been created in Christ in advance for us to do. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about dead works. We can do things that are dead works. If Holy Spirit isn't calling us to do something, it can be a dead work. Even a work of service in the church can be a dead work if it's not one that we have been called to do. So good works are those that grow out of a response to the love of God. When we respond to God's love, then we're compelled to seek those good works that he's prepared in advance for us. He might have kept them hidden. Some of us might be in roles currently that were hidden from us, that we didn't think we'd be in those roles. So how do we know the difference between a good work and a dead work? Well, each of us as individuals, each of us as followers of Jesus, know Christ's voice. So we pray. Each of us as individuals can do that and see what we believe God is teaching us to do. But then test that. Speak with your small group leader. Speak with myself or one of the other pastors to see whether those things are of God. So God's shown us some of these things. The revision mission isn't something that at the beginning of the year we would have expected to be doing, but he showed us, we responded, and he blessed and honoured that. It's a good work prepared in advance. It was kept hidden. We didn't realise it all the past few years when the doctors teach their students near to their exams. Was just God showing us, well, he kept it hidden, and then it was just an extension of that, becoming an official shofar event. It might be something that we're already doing. It might be something that we haven't done. It might be something that we don't feel qualified to do. As we close, please stand and I'll pray. We thank you, Father, that we are your workmanship, that you're committed to us, that you haven't started a work in us that you will leave incomplete, that you haven't started a work in us that you will allow somebody else to undo. So Christ Jesus, thank you that you have prepared in advance, prepared good works for us. And thank you for showing us, even in the revision mission, and even over these next few weeks and months, some of those good works. And we commit them to you, Fred and Lucille's visit and all that that entails. The school, not just the building and the projects, but the people, the families, who will encounter you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that as your ambassadors, we don't have to empower ourselves. Thank you that it's not a burden to be always on duty, because it's who we are. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll relieve us of burdens, relieve us of pressure, relieve us even of not being secure in who we are, so that we're able to give the vital message of your kingdom. We're able to receive Holy Spirit empowerment. We're able to be immune from the attacks of the evil one. And this morning, God, we pray, even on these things that we've mentioned, that we will know your immunity, that Fred and Lucille, as they travel, won't be delayed, that they won't have any sickness that would prevent them fulfilling that which you have for them. And God, that we wouldn't be prevented, even the people who've come this morning or at this time, don't think that they can go and be part of the ministry conference. God, that you will make it possible, that you will find a way. God, we thank you that you've given us Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, that we don't have to be driven by a program. And God, we thank you. That what you give to us is real and practical. That your spiritual life is one which is lived out on earth. That it's not one that causes us to need to be hidden away from the world. God, thank you that you've called us to implore people to be reconciled to God. So God, we pray that even for our family members, even for those who don't know you, that they will be reconciled to God, that through us you will fulfill that ministry. Thank you, God, that it's not us, but you in us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the hope of glory, and we claim, even this morning, the hope that overcomes and a glory that supersedes any other for ourselves and for those who will come after us. Lord, we ask your blessing on each of us as we seek out those works and your guidance and strength as we do them. In Jesus' name.